Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, after kind of flying solo by the seat of my pants for a few weeks, the gang's all together. Chase Parham is here to talk recruiting, believe it or not, and most importantly, Russell Johnson is here. Matt Luke is now the no longer the interim head football coach at Ole Miss. He is just the head football coach at Ole Miss. We will talk about recruiting with Luke, how that affects things. Joe Moorhead, the former Penn State offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Mississippi State. So just as everyone predicted, Luke versus Moorhead in the 2018 Egg Bowl. A lot of people saw that coming, so not particularly shocking, but we'll talk about it regardless. First, we're going to tell you about Pelias Pecans. It is the holiday season. So go ahead and get your gift-giving list together, whether it's for businesses or families. Pelias offers gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more to please every sweet tooth on your list. Now's the perfect time to get those Christmas Eve cakes, those Christmas cakes, the Pelias Blueberry Pecan Coffee Cake, the Cinnamon Pecan Coffee. They'll freeze beautifully until the big day. Order now, and Pelias will ship your gifts on the date requested. Here's why you should choose Pelias for your holiday gifting. A lot of you have already done it. We appreciate that. I know Pelias appreciates that. It's not too late for you to join the fun. Everyone's doing it. You should too. They make it super easy. Email your list of recipients to gifts, that's G-I-F-T-S, at PeliasPecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S-P-E-C-A-N-S.com, and they will handle the rest. If you want your logo on your gift, they do that too. They even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want to that special person. Go to their website, PeliasPecans.com, see what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. You can order online at PeliasPecans.com, email at gifts@PeliasPecans.com, or call 1-800-624-7404, 1-800-624-7404, and Stacy or Bailey will assist with your gifting needs. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is that number. You call that number, you ask for our friend Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's how it works. You get a great Ford. You get no hassle, no haggling, right to the bottom line, easy deal. And then it's up to you. You get your quote. You can shop it around, or you get your quote, and you go ahead and join the list of people who have let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience. At the end of the deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans, and you get $500 off. The bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It feels good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
It has.
I never knew that I could carry a recruiting podcast, but I did it. I did it for a couple of weeks. Thanks to Rob Cassidy. Thanks to Woody Womack. They were fun. Always good to get kind of a national perspective on recruiting. I'll probably do that again here soon as the abomination that is the early signing period rolls around. That's not going to last long. It's going to last this year. It's going to last next year. Then it's going to go away.
Yes, I agree 100%. I think it's definitely about to be lying season from assistant coaches,
is always
head coaches.
Lying season.
Yes, but to a further extent, now that these assistant coaches and with the coaching carousel spinning the way it is, everybody's going to do what they need to do in order to get these kids to sign to the school they're currently at. And for all they know, they could leave the next day. And I'd have to think quite a few actually will leave the day after the early signing period ends.
Yeah, and then the high school coaches are going to get upset. They're already upset. They didn't like this anyway because it took away from some of the focus from the high school football season. The handlers are going to get upset because the kids who were leaning on them are going to feel like they got lied to. It's just going to be a lot of hurt feelings. Going to be a lot of pissed off people. All right, so I'm Chase. First of all, welcome into the program.
Yeah, this is kind of new. Neil told me a minute ago that I might know more recruiting than him, and I'm not sure that's possible, but I think I probably do at least understand the dynamics a little better. So we'll go into it today, let Russell guide us through it. It's been a heavy podcast day. We've had an Oxford Exxon podcast. It went about 90 minutes, and now this one. But we'll talk a little recruiting. Power through is at least the first step to a sense of normalcy, Russell, is here for Ole Miss. Obviously, NCAA sanctions could come at any minute, any time. They're not here yet. But getting a coach full-time and essentially getting a staff, even though it's the same staff, a staff in place that will be evaluated but probably for the most part staying intact through signing day, it is give some semblance of normalcy for the Rebels.
Yes, it definitely does. And the recruits have really – I don't know if anybody – if you checked out the reaction, I got over 50 recruits to react to the hiring of Matt Luke on a permanent basis. And everybody was pretty excited for that uncertainty to be settled and for them to know who their head coach is, at least as of right now, going to be if they were to sign with Ole Miss, which is something that has been used in negative recruiting for months. Even before Freeze stepped down in July, they were using that because, let's be honest here, Freeze might not have survived the NCAA either way. So, like I said, that's definitely something that helps them a lot in recruiting. And they've actually picked up quite a bit of momentum, especially with State not having a coach for a couple of days, the first couple of days of the contact period.
I know it's too early to know this, but Neil joked about the early signing period and then obviously Ole Miss kind of getting into its recruiting plan full bore in a couple hundred words or less. Don't obviously stay within in detail here. What can this 2018 class look like?
I think it's definitely not going to be as Mississippi heavy, as hashtag Mississippi made, as they want to call it, as the going forward classes will be in 2019 and 2020. I think it's just a down year for the state of Mississippi. Nothing against the Jalen Reeds, the Fab Lovitz, and Jamorian Joneses of the world, but that's definitely not the 2019 class where you're going to have at least 10 4-stars when the new rankings come out in a couple weeks. You can get what you need at the JUCO level, which is exactly what Ole Miss is trying to do in terms of filling the holes defensively. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they're looking for somebody who's going to be able to come in and play running back, maybe start right away, which is what they think Scott Phillips is going to be able to do from Jones County. He had a pretty good year. I believe he might have been a JUCO All-American. Don't quote me on that. And at the quarterback position, there's just a ton of uncertainty still because – no one knows whether or not Longo's going to be there next year. And to be quite frank, Longo's recruiting tactics at the quarterback position have been questionable.
All right, let's talk some mailbag questions. Someone says, is keeping along those same lines, is keeping Matt Luke positive for the bulk of the 2019 class? Does he have inroads, and I'll add to it, does he have inroads that are so significant that it would be different than had they brought in a new coach? Does he have inroads that a new coach would not have been able to make with that class?
Just the existing relationships that he has with the kids, and depending on who he does keep from the staff, what they have already with the kids, having talked to them, visited them probably either this week or next week, and overall just Matt Luke being from Mississippi kind of helps, at least from a recruit standpoint, because they know who he is. They know who Matt Luke is. They know the history behind Matt Luke because he was an intern this past year. So they have a better understanding of who he is and what he stands for.
All right, with current self-imposed sanctions, how many – people ask this question. It's a good question. With current self-imposed sanctions, how many recruits can Ole Miss sign this year? Is it 16?
It'll be between 16 and 20. They're not 100% sure how the numbers are going to pan out yet. They do know that they can only take 5 or 6 early signees to enroll in January. But besides that, it's kind of an unknown at this point.
People want to know about Mississippi State's commitments. Obviously, we're going to find out a lot about that as Moorhead gets formally introduced tomorrow, I think at 10 o'clock, Thursday at 10 o'clock. I don't know when you'll hear this. gets formally introduced at in Starkville, and they're going to hit the ground today running on their current commitments. But are there any of the current commitments that you see perhaps flipping to Ole Miss now that the uncertainty as it pertains to the coaching situation at Ole Miss is done and Dan Mullen's gone to Gainesville?
Olive Branch, defensive and defensive tackle, whatever you want to call him, Fabian Lovett, he's actually going to be officially visiting Ole Miss this weekend. He's visited quite a few times, kind of kept it under the rug and kind of tried to keep it secret. But he's actually been to Oxford more than he has Starkville this past season. And with that, the teammate of his, Jalen Reed, plans on taking an official visit to Ole Miss either in December or January and kind of going from there. Other than that, the only other target I could see them possibly getting in on from the class of 2018 would be Marcus Murphy, the do-it-all athlete from West Point. Saw him play in person against Grenada. I was blown away. I didn't expect his athleticism to be at the level that it was. I'm not sure where he projects at the next level, which is kind of something that Ole Miss would need to figure out before they get back on him. But when you go to the 2019 class in Mississippi State, you've got DeJuan Black, who I definitely see changing his commitment, either decommitting or completely flipping in the next couple weeks. And then you've got Charles Moore, who missed the entire 2017 season due to his injury. He's been kind of mum since the Mullen news came out, and obviously since Moorhead was named head coach. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
All right, so a lot of people are asking about quarterbacks. They're asking about Malik Henry specifically. Is he a possibility? Our program's worried about character issues, and then just quarterbacks in this class. It stands to reason they're probably going to have to sign a quarterback, but you're not signing a junior college quarterback if Shea Patterson stays. You probably are if Shea Patterson leaves. You don't have a lot of scholarships to play with. The sanctions might come down that even change that more dramatically. Where do they stand with quarterback recruiting?
They're actually almost strictly recruiting, well, on the non-committed basis, JUCO quarterbacks, which is interesting, as you said, with the Shea Patterson stuff going on. Terry Wilson from, I think it's Garden City in Kansas, and then obviously, like you said, Malik Henry from Independence. Those are two of the top guys right now, and then the Earl, Arkansas quarterback, Gary Bohannon, is still an option and still in play. He's at the high school level, but he's changed up his recruitment so much that Ole Miss isn't really sure whether or not they're going to make the effort as recruiting season picks up.
So on Henry, where do you expect him to sign?
Right now, I believe that Ole Miss might be his only committable offer. And with Henry, the thing is I mean, he's been kicked out of two high schools and obviously the Florida State stuff. I don't know exactly what happened there. But you have to wonder, you don't want any more character issues in this in the Ole Miss locker room than you.
If FSU... I mean, if Ole Miss doesn't get Shea, do they have to add a quarterback, an older quarterback?
If they don't get Shea or if they don't?
No, if Shea leaves, do they have to add an older quarterback? Don't they have to get an answer on that here
yes.
pretty quickly?
Yeah, they do. They definitely do, especially.
They can't afford to do the spring training thing and then he leaves after the spring.
No, you can't afford that whatsoever unless you want Alex Faneuil being your backup quarterback, which no offense to Alex, but I don't think he's ready for yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and certainly you can't throw in an even younger guy into that role. It won't work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Shea does leave, you're going to have to sign a JUCO quarterback.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going through. Okay, there's a couple questions about Harold Joyner. What's happening with Harold Joyner's recruiting? Is Ole Miss involved in that? Do they have a chance?
Lately, they have. I know that Ole Miss is going – in-home on Jonathan Hess, which is the linebacker commit from Vestavia Hills, or is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Vestavia
okay.
Hills.
Yes. So him and Joyner are best friends. They do almost everything together. And both Hess and Alan Love from the Birmingham area, the defensive tackle commit, they're putting the pressure on Joyner. And Joyner actually visited two of the final three games that Ole Miss was allowed to have visitors at. So I would definitely say they have a shot. He's been to Oxford more than he's been to other schools that are in the picture, such as Auburn. Auburn doesn't really know what's going to happen with Asa Martin, their running back commit, so they're kind of still on the keep him warm front.
Okay. We talked about Mississippi State a little bit. What about Tennessee? Tennessee's coaching search as we record this is in chaos. They had a pretty good recruiting class put together. It was the big reason that they tried like hell to hang on to Butch Jones. Couldn't ultimately do it. That class is falling apart. Is there anyone from Tennessee that's a flip candidate?
Yes, the cornerback from Alpharetta, who, as I mentioned in the Nugget several times, for those of you subscribed, is actually from the Mississippi area. J.C. Horn, he decommitted from Tennessee over the weekend and actually saw Ole Miss on Monday. Ole Miss came and stopped by and talked to him and wanted to make sure he knew he was a priority. They're trying to get him on campus for a visit. And then you've also got the Rivals 100 defensive end, Greg Emerson, who's been committed for quite some time as well. Emerson has kind of tried to stay solid and quiet through the process of everything going on with Butch Jones. But with him, I mean, if you get him on campus, anything can happen. I know he was here for the junior day, I believe, and really impressed the coaches that were here.
The podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at fidelitymort.com or at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 1039190. All right, Jet Johnson, I think that's the linebacker from Tupelo. We committed to Mississippi State for several months now. I would think that's one of the very first calls Joe Moorhead and his staff make.
Yeah.
Is there any chance at all that he flips, or is he likely a guy that sticks with State no matter what?
That was actually one of Matt Luke's first phone calls on Sunday after the team meeting. He called Jet and wanted to let him know that he wants him in Oxford and that he's going to do what he needs to make it happen. But like you said, with Moorhead calling him, I definitely do, as of right now, I see him staying with State. But I also think that if Ole Miss were to push and, you know, make a strong effort towards landing him, which would take missing on some other out-of-state linebacker targets and some JUCOs, that they could definitely end up with Jet.
Okay, one more question, and then I'm going to get Chase involved on this next question too, because he I'll be interested to hear both of y'all's perspectives. Someone asked about the wide receiver from Georgia. Let's give a last name of Moore.
Oh, Elijah Moore. He's committed to Georgia, yeah, from St. Thomas Aquinas.
They're asking any chance that he flips.
I mean, there's definitely a possibility that he could flip, but I don't see Peeler placing him as a number one priority right now in terms of landing that second receiver spot. I see him going more after the Texas kids of Miles Battle and Tommy Bush and Marquez Ezard from Stockbridge in Georgia over Elijah Moore. Elijah did have a pretty solid senior season, but like I said, I think Ezard's going to be the top guy at the receiver position right now.
Okay. So here's the question, and Matt started laying the groundwork for this on Monday. And I always say things like this, and people think I'm criticizing. I'm not. I'm simply asking. And Charger Rebel asked the question too, and I agree with Charger Rebel's tone of his or her question. Is hashtag Mississippi Made possibly a detrimental slogan for getting recruits outside of the state? You have a school at Ole Miss that's about 50-50 overall enrollment. The state of Mississippi does not in and of itself produce enough players that even if one school, whether it's Ole Miss or State or Delta State or anybody else, if they were to dominate the state, they'd still have to go supplement. Is making the whole Mississippi Made thing, is that running a risk of telling other kids that you're not as big of a priority, or is this a smart move inside the state of Mississippi?
I think for the next couple years at least, I think it's a brilliant move, both marketing-wise and for the recruiting trail. With the talent in 2019 and 2020, and possibly even in 2021, I haven't really dug that deep in it. The state of Mississippi definitely does need to be a priority. And from talking to high school coaches throughout my time in Oxford since August, they've really noticed the lack of emphasis that Ole Miss has put on in-state recruiting. The number one focus, obviously, like you said, on Monday, Luke said it himself, is going to be recruiting Mississippi. And with that, kids outside see that, and they might know that they're not the number one priority, but if there's a four-star kid in, let's say, Texas and a three-star kid in Mississippi and they're fighting for the same spot, I still don't think that Ole Miss would take the three-star kid from Mississippi over the four-star kid from Texas.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about it a little bit is, as Russell said, this 2019 class, potentially the best class in Mississippi in years. I don't know how to compare it to whatnot, but while Neil and I at least have been doing this, it's probably the best class, second best class they've had, especially from an early standpoint of Rivals 100, Rivals 250 prospects.
Under Armour All-Americans, yeah.
It is the best class.
Yeah.
You can read Mississippi Made a couple different ways, and I mean, it's a slogan. So if you're Ole Miss, spin it however you want to. Matt Luke talks about being Mississippi Made. Well, that could also be Mississippi Made in college, be Mississippi State as an Mississippi Made as an Ole Miss player. Whereas, because it's going to be an NFL slogan too. Eli Manning's Mississippi Made. Evan Ingram's Mississippi Made. They're going to use it in multiple instances and in multiple situations, just like Alabama does when they use their NFL slogan, Built by Bama. It's a recruiting tool, but it's also an NFL tool. And Ole Miss right now does have a pretty good NFL presence. So I think it's multifaceted. It's an easy thing to remember. And as much as any hashtag or catchphrase can do, I think it's going to be effective.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a gimmick either because of all the talent in the state.
See, there's a reason I kept you around today. I didn't think about it that way. All right, people are asking about the JUCO route. Linebackers, obviously, Ole Miss doesn't have any. There's rumors that they're losing another one. Linebackers from the JUCO route, just defensive overall side of the ball from the JUCO route. How heavy on JUCO will this class be, and who are the defensive guys that they might add?
Well, they've got Hal Northern committed, the defensive tackle from Northwest. They've got the Coahoma linebacker, Davion Taylor, visiting this weekend officially. He's quote-unquote committed to Colorado, but anytime you talk to him, he'll tell you Ole Miss is his leader, but he wants to visit Missouri and Vanderbilt before making a final decision. Other than that, you've got quite a few kids from Arizona Western. You've got Azur Kamara, who's a defensive end, and you've got Mamadou. You're going to have to quote me on the – don't quote me on the pronunciation of Diallo. He's a defensive tackle committed to Oregon, I believe, right now. And when it comes to that, I would place the over-under at signees from the JUCO level at about 4.5, which is kind of teetering on the brink of over-signing at the JUCO level. But with all the holes at Ole Miss defensively, you do what you got to do.
They certainly have some holes. There's no question about that. All right, I can't believe I'm going to ask this question, but it's a good one, and oh, what the hell. Matt Luke's relationship with Demetric Warren, will it be better than the relationship that Hugh Freeze had?
I can tell you that Demetric and Mississippi State's new head coach have no relationship whatsoever. He was just as shocked as everybody else was last night when the news was made. I definitely expect Matt Luke to try to make some gains, or if it's not Matt Luke, it might be somebody on the staff, the support staff.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious because I have no idea. I mean, Neil called him Slash back in the day, and it was a little bit of a thing. How critical is that? I mean, let's just be real for a minute. How important is that relationship?
I would say that's more important than having a 10th assistant coach. I would say that being in with Demetric and, you know, possibly with the 7-on-7 team that he runs, Grind, who's going to have two teams this year, I mean, you can't place, for lack of a better word, a price tag on it. Having Demetric on your side in the state of Mississippi is something that...
Interesting now.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to do it. It didn't seem that, like, Freeze and him didn't get along very well. Freeze kept him close because he kept his enemies close. Well,
Freeze tried. I'm not sure that he tried effectively or that he tried in the right way, but he did try.
Can't blame him for that.
Okay. A lot of these have been asked. Someone's asking about Tashawn Henry.
Oh, he's a 5'5 running back from Texas. I don't see Ole Miss going after him at all.
No, and that's part of the thing people are going to have to understand. Like, with reduced scholarships, you can't take risk anymore.
No,
you have to go.
No.
You have to be very conservative in your approach. You have to be basically the guy that puts the money in the savings account for
yeah.
a while. You can't. You don't. You're not rolling the dice on high yield stock.
Especially not at 5'5". Yeah. I mean, Henry is a special kid, but him in the SEC wouldn't work too well. Leave him in the Big 12.
All right, along these lines, someone says Ole Miss has needs at kicker and punter. Obviously, you can't waste a scholarship right now on a kicker or a punter. You hearing any rumblings about walk-ons?
Brandon's kicker might be a potential. He kicked about 55-yarder in the playoffs or right before the playoffs. He's definitely someone they're keeping an eye on. And there's a couple in Tennessee they're looking at, but nobody of note or that would be someone who would come in and start right away. I don't know what they're going to do at the kicker position.
One last break in the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans to tell you that the podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Well, it's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right, last couple of questions here as we wrap up. Someone wants to know about N'Kobe Dean and Brandon Turnage. Any updates on those guys?
Turnage loved the Luke hire. He was kind of hoping that would happen. He was a little adamant about some other names, but he was really excited that Luke was staying and that basically the majority of the staff is staying. And on the same lines with Dean. Dean was leaning towards Alabama, still might be a little bit, but this definitely helped gain a little bit with him as well as Radar Jones, his teammate and athlete, playing quarterback.
It's a cool name, Radar.
Short for Ray Darius. He tells me to call him Radar because people like that better.
It's a character named Radar in a very popular show. Can either one of you name it? Going to show the age gap here?
Yeah, we'll have to show the age gap.
MASH. Yeah. I hate you.
Wasn't that like the most watched finale of all time? Was it MASH? Their finale, wasn't it whatever the ratings or most watched or whatever it is?
It might have been beaten by Cheers since then, but yes, at the time it was. The Cheers finale was a big deal.
Friday Night Lights finale didn't make it, did it?
I don't think Friday Night Lights compares really with the longevity of MASH and or Cheers, but it's a good try. All right. The playoffs come to a screeching halt, I think, starting Thursday?
Friday.
Starting Friday at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. So 3 games Friday, 3 games Saturday, is that right?
Yep. I will be there for probably each and every one of them.
For people that will also be there, who are some prospects to watch for in those games? Anybody?
For Pearl, you've got Jonquise Patterson, who is the wide receiver who's committed to state. He's probably going to end up going to a JUCO and kind of resurfacing in a couple years. Starkville, you've got linebacker Zach Edwards, 2019. He worked out at Ole Miss at a camp this summer, got his first offer, and is kind of blossom from there. You've got the cornerback from Starkville, Natrone Brooks, who's committed to Memphis. Ole Miss could kind of get in on there if the sanctions are worse than expected, and he'd be one of those kids that they could possibly develop into something. West Point, obviously you've got Marcus Murphy, the do-it-all quarterback, running back, whatever you want to call it, and you've got Jason Brownlee, the receiver, who has really impressed in the state playoffs and might actually end up getting a couple D1 looks as February progresses, gets near. East Central, the running back everybody was talking about on the message board this morning, he's Tony Brown. He's 5'7", maybe under 200 pounds. Won't play in the SEC. Like I told them, I think that he's going to resurface at the JUCO level in a couple years, which really seems to be what the state of Mississippi wants anyway. Yazoo County, who is taking on Jefferson Davis County? Is that what they renamed Bassfield? Yeah. Kenny Gainwell had 7 touchdowns last week. Obviously, with the coaching search going on, I didn't get a chance to write about it. But
I don't like that county's chances of keeping that name for long in the current political environment.
Yeah.
Just a prediction while we're making predictions. That's going to be a new county name in the next 5 years or less.
Yeah, Gainwell's currently committed to Memphis, but some other schools could come in late. From, was it Nanawaya? Wow, look at me. Look at me pronounce the cities right. You got Chris
Smith.
Who
says Joe Moorhead has no chance, huh? Russell and, comes down from Akron and he can pronounce names.
That's right. Moorhead, if you're listening, give me a call. I'll help you get some adjustments in terms of the northern way of things from the southern way of things. There's heck of a lot different. But like I was saying, from Nanawaya, you've got Chris Smith and Glass. Smith is actually committed to Louisiana Lafayette, but I don't know. I mean, he could become a fringe SEC target for State's new staff, or if Ole Miss misses out on almost everybody, they would offer him pretty close to signing day.
Have they already renamed the school?
I don't know if that's this is the exact school or not. I did hear, though, earlier that Davis High School, Jefferson Davis High School in Mississippi, was being renamed after Barack Obama. I'm not positive it's the same school, but I did see where there was some type of legislation going with either that or a similar name school in Mississippi earlier this year.
What's the Obama tie to the state of Mississippi?
He's not Jefferson Davis. That's the – you don't know who Jefferson Davis is?
No.
He was the first president of the Confederacy.
Wow. I don't know why I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you go to Montgomery, you can see his first presidential home.
Sounds like a tourist attraction.
They lost.
Yes.
All right, speaking of winning and losing, Akron and Toledo are playing in the MAC title game.
That is correct.
I think Akron is getting 21 points, asking for a friend. Is that line pretty high?
That is a really high line. But I see in the season Jason Candles had at Toledo, he actually was a candidate for a couple of hours at Mississippi State. So, I mean, the line's really high, but I would take the points.
So you take Akron in the points?
Yeah. I mean, Akron's quarterback, who started his first game a few weeks back, Cato Nelson, he has really emerged. And he could be the game changer that decides whether or not Akron gets to, I believe the MAC champion usually plays – don't they play back in Detroit, or do they end up usually
– No, it's in Detroit, it's at Ford Field.
Yeah, that's right. And then usually the loser of the MAC title game ends up in – is it Birmingham or Mobile? Because that's where Kent State played a few years back.
Yeah, I can't remember. Mobile, yeah. I think.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm kind of
– it's now the Go – was the GoDaddy?
Yes, it was.
Still, no, it's the Dollar General Bowl now, yeah.
Wow, the Dollar General – well, if Akron does lose and ends up in Montgomery, I will be at that game.
I think it'd be Mobile.
Mobile.
Or maybe Montgomery. Hell, I don't know. Montgomery's called the Camellia Bowl, but didn't they kill it? I don't know. Beats me. Anyway, speaking of bowls, the Mississippi-Alabama, or the Alabama-Mississippi, however you want to do it, All-Star Classic is next week. We'll definitely have coverage from there. I'm not sure who's going to be doing that coverage, but we'll figure that out. There's a junior college game on Sunday that has a lot of Ole Miss targets in it. We'll work something out there as well. So we'll be back to talk about those games and however everything in recruiting falls out next week on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Again, billyspecans.com. Go to gifts@billyspecans.com to make your order, or call Stacy or Bailey at 1-800-624-7404. For Chase Parham, for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this week's edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Take care.